Well, good evening to all you fine folks out there in internet land. This is Pastor Gene Howard on this 8th day of May already. We'll be looking at the studies of the Apostle Peter, the life and times of the Apostle Peter, part 10. You know, we here at Challenge, we believe that the cross stands at the very center of all that God has ever done, is going to do today, or will ever do. Challenge presents the message of the cross, the message of the crucified, resurrected, and coming again, Lord of lords and King of kings, Jesus the Christ. You know, our nation needs prayer. We need prayer. I need prayer. And I have an item I'd like for you while we go into prayer to help me with. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. My wife fell last Sunday and broke her hip. And right now, she's going through the therapy and what's really hard, and I know many of you have gone through this or may be going through it, but being the care provider, I'm her care provider 24/7. And until you've been in that arena, folks, you really don't know everything that has to be done 24/7 beside your loved one's side, taking care of them in every area. So please lift me up in prayer. Lift me up in prayer. She goes to see the doctor on the 21st to get the stitches removed. She's doing really well, but thanks for prayers. So if you would, please continue. Pray for my wife, Shirley Howard, and for me, and for me. As we go into the message tonight, I want to pray not only for this nation, but I just want to pray. And you may think, well, Pastor Gene, this is some weird praying. Well, I'm centering tonight's prayer around God's Word, what God's Word says. And you may ask, why do I pray the way I pray? And it's because of God's Word that I pray the way that I pray. So let's get into it. Tonight's message is entitled, The Apostle Peter, The Life and Times of the Apostle Peter, Part 10. Father, Lord God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, recognizing you as sovereign God, the Lord God who rescued your people out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. And Father, you told us, and you tell us in your word, that we are not to have any other gods but you. Father, as I look around in the nation that we're living in now, we have many gods. We have given in to many gods. One of them, Father, is technology. Many, many within the church body, Lord God, are worshiping themselves through the technology, Father God. They turn to the technology before ever turning to you in prayer. Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned. We have sinned, Father God. Father, you tell us that we should not make for ourselves an idol of any kind or an image of any kind in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea, that we must not bow down to them or worship them, for you are God and you're a jealous God who will not tolerate our affections for another God. And Father, we have made many times technology our gods. We have made social media, Father God, our gods. And though there may be many more out there, that's the one that comes to mind. Father, you say that you lay the sins of the parents upon the children and the entire family is affected. So Father God, here we are. We are a nation of men and women who have been affected by the sins of our fathers. And yet, Father, we have done the same sins that our forefathers have done. And Lord, you said that you would visit the iniquities and the sins of the father 3 to 4 generations to those, Lord, who reject you. And Father, I know that there's many in our nation today and around the world who have rejected you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, your word is true. And many, many people are suffering in great ways because of the sins of the fathers that passed on to generation to generation. But, Father, you also tell us in your word that you love those that obey your commands, and that you will pour out your unfailing love upon them for thousands and thousands of generations. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm one of those, Father God, who try to obey your commandments, your statutes, your laws. So, Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, as a nation where we have turned our back upon you, turned our back upon your statutes, your commandments. Lord, for the generations of men and women who have turned their back upon you because their fathers did not teach them the right way, Father God, did not teach them about you, Lord God. So now, Father, we have generations after generations of ungodless, unholy people. Forgive us, Lord God. Father, you said that we must not use your name in vain. Because if we do, you will not let it go unpunished if we misuse your name. Father, we can't even use media sources unless your name is taken in vain many times. Lord, your name is taken in vain in everyday conversation. It's being used, Father God, not to praise you or to glorify you or pray to you. But it's being misused hazardly, Father God. The name of Jesus, you, Father God, your name is being taken in vain in various of ways. God, I confess that is sin. I confess it is sin, and I ask your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Father, you tell us to observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Many of your children who are called by your name do not even go to church, much less recognize the Sabbath as a holy day. Forgive us, Father God, for we have sinned. We have sinned. God, you tell us that we have 6 days each week to do our ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to you, Lord God. Our Sabbath, Father God, should be dedicated to you. But sadly to say, Father, many times, your people who are called by your name have dedicated the Sabbath to themselves. Father, Lord, you said this includes our sons and our daughters, our male and female servants and our livestock, and any foreigners living among us. Because you said, for in 6 days you made the heavens, Lord, the earth and the sea and everything in them, but that you rested on the seventh day. And the Sabbath day is set apart as holy unto you, Lord. Father, you tell us to honor our father and our mother. Then we can live a long life, a full life in the land that you have given us. Father, as I look at our nation today, predominantly America, Father God, where the children, they have no correction. They have no rule. They haven't been taught for the most part to honor you, Father God, much less honor their mother and their father. Children talking back to their parents, disrespectful, Father God, in no way honoring them as the head over them. Father, a generation raised up dishonoring their mothers and their fathers. A generation after generation of children of gimme, 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 gimme. And Father, we have a generation after generation of parents who has made it so easy for their children that their children do not learn moral values, do not learn work ethics, do not learn anything but me, 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 and I. Forgive us, O Lord God. We have sinned greatly, Father God. Forgive us, Father. Lord, you tell us not to murder. Yet, Father, we have hoodlums running the streets of our cities, taking lives of individuals without any remorse, any regard for the human life that you have created. Father God, we have wickedness running throughout the streets. Father God, who would even kill the authorities. And Father, we have district attorneys and judges who refuse to prosecute those who are wicked, those who are troublemakers, those who are wreaking havoc upon innocent people, shedding innocent blood, Father. God, please forgive us. Forgive us where we've come as a nation, Father God. Lord, forgive us in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, for the shedding of the innocent blood. Not only, Father God, the innocent blood of people in the streets, but Father God, we have passed laws and edicts to make it lawful to kill babies within the womb of the mother, shedding innocent blood. And Father, you said the land is crying out to you because of the innocent blood that's shed upon the land. Forgive us, O Lord God. Father, you tell us not to commit adultery. And Father, this includes those sexual sins of sodomy, gay and lesbianism, perversion at every hand. And Lord, yet you tell us, Father, you tell us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says, you've heard the commandment that it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, which is the commandment of verse 14 of Exodus 20. But Jesus goes on to say, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Father, I confess to sin that we are an adulterous nation. Not only, Father God, are we an adulterous nation, we are a nation who are given into those lifestyles that you call an abomination, Father God. Yet we have passed laws and edicts in this nation, Father God, that push this kind of lifestyle upon the people. Father God, we have churches who have embraced immoral lifestyles, who refuse to call lifestyles involving these types of sins as sin, but are embracing openly, Father God, the sin that you tell us not to do. Father, I confess this is sin. And I say we're in a dire strait way, Father God. Forgive us, Lord God, for we have sinned in this area. Forgive us, Father God. Lord, you tell us not to steal. And God, we as individuals know that stealing is bad. Yet, Father, we have individuals in this nation running rampant in this nation, and many of them are not from this nation but have come in illegally, Father God, who are breaking down the windows of stores, grab and smash. Father God, it's stealing. And Father, we have laws which prevent that. Yet, Father, we have government officials who prevent the civil authorities from acting against these perpetrators who are stealing openly, Father, with no remorse. God, that's what we've become as a nation. I confess it is sin, Lord. I ask your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, Father God. Father, you tell us not to testify falsely against our neighbors. Yet, Father, we even have within our political arena those who can't tell the truth. We don't know, Father God, that the common people of what is truth coming out of our nations, Father God. Father, one accusing the other. Lord, lies being perpetrated and spread out through social media, Father. So as we don't know what is truth, Father God, the only thing that I know is truth, without a doubt, is your word. So Father, I confess this is sin, that we have become a nation of liars, cheats, and thieves. Father, you tell us that we should not covet our neighbor's wife or anything else that belongs to our neighbors. Yet, Father, we are a nation given in to adulterous desires. Lord, the nation is eat up with adultery, fornication, sodomy, gay and lesbianism, and covetousness of our neighbors. Father, many are so bold as more than covenant, as simply stealing it from the neighbors. Father, this is what we've become. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, please forgive us. Forgive us as a nation. Father, I'm asking you to forgive us as a church for failing you, for failing to be salt and light, failing to teach our congregants and our children your word, Father God, and your standards, statutes, and your commandments. Forgive us, O Lord God. Father, you told your people when you were bringing them out of Egypt, you said, don't act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I'm taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees. For I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord, God says. He goes on to say, and I'm reading from Leviticus 18, Father, that you must never have sexual relationships with close relationship. And you say, Father, that I am the Lord. And Father, you go on to say that do not violate your father by having sexual relationships with your mother. She's your mother. And you must not have sexual relationship with her. Father, we're a nation eat up with all sorts of kinds of sexual sins and perversions. And all of this is happening, and sometime within the walls of the church. When I mean the walls of the church, I'm talking about amongst your people, Father God. You tell us not to have sexual relationship with any of our father's wives, for this would violate your father. You tell us, Lord God, not to have sexual relationship with your sister or your half-sister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she is born into your household or someone else's. Do not have sexual relations with your granddaughter, whether she is your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, for this would violate yourself. Do not have sexual relations with your stepsister, your daughter of any of your father's wives, for she is your sister. Father, this is your word, telling us what to do, what not to do. And Father, we as a nation have broken all of these commandments. We as a nation have done these things, Father God, which you tell us not to do. Father, you tell us not to have sexual relationship with your father's sister, for she is your father's close relative. And also, do not have sexual relationship with your mother's sister, for she is your mother's close relative. Do not violate your uncle, your father's brother, by having sexual relationship with his wife. She is your aunt. Do not have sexual relationship with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife, so you must not have sexual relationships with her. Father, all of these standards that you've put out for us, I'm afraid, Lord God, that many, even within the church, the body of Christ, are guilty of some of these things. Do not have sexual relationship with your brother's wife, for this would violate your brother. Do not have sexual relationship with both woman and her daughter. And do not take her granddaughter, whether her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter, and have sexual relationship with her. They are close relatives. This would be a wicked act. You tell us, Father God. And Lord, you tell us while your wife is living, do not marry her sister and have sexual relationships with her, for they would be rivals. Do not have a sexual relationship with a woman during her period of menstrual impurity. Father, all of these statutes telling us how to live pure. I'm so afraid, Father God, that the church has not taught your people who are called by your name these standards. Do not defile yourself by having sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife. There it is again, Father God. Adultery. Do not permit any of your children to be offered as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not bring shame on the name of your God. I am God. Father, forgive us, Lord God. Sacrificing the children, Father God, unto Molech, and thereby bringing shame upon the name of the Lord. Father, there are many within the church, within your body, who have committed adultery, who have tried to hide the sins of adultery once they became pregnant and killed the innocent child in the womb, Father God, offering the baby up, bringing shame upon the name of you, Father God. Those bought and purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, many, Father God, have taken the blood of the unborn child and shed it out because of acts of sin, Father God. Forgive us, Lord. We have sinned. Father, verse 22 of Leviticus, you tell us this. Do not practice homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman. It is a detestable sin. Yet, Father God, we have churches who embrace homosexuality. We have laws on the books that demand that we embrace those practicing the lifestyle of homosexuality that will not call sin, sin. And Father, I'm praying this way to show the people exactly what your word says about these types of sins. You go on to tell us, Father God, that a man must not defile himself by having sex with an animal, and a woman must not offer herself to a male animal to have intercourse with it. This is a perverse act. Yet, Father God, within the nation, these types of things goes on. Forgive us, O Lord. You tell us, Father God, not to defile ourselves in any of these ways, because the people that you are driving out before you brought them through and out of Egypt have defiled themselves in these ways. And you say that the land has become defiled. And you go on to say, Father God, that you are punishing the people who live there. And you will cause the land to vomit them out. Lord, what has our land become? Father, what has our land become? Now, I know, Father God, if we, as your children, obey your laws, your statutes, and commandments, and don't do any of these things, don't commit any of these detestable sins, you tell us in verse 26 of Leviticus 18. Said, you must not commit any of these detestable sins. This applies to both the native-born Israelites and to foreigners living amongst you. You go on to say, Father God, that all of these detestable activities are practiced by the people of the land where I am taking you, and this is how the land has become defiled. Father, forgive us. We have allowed this land that we live in, the United States of America, to become defiled. God, you go on to tell us, so don't defile the land and give it a reason to vomit you out, as it will vomit out the people who live there who commits any of these detestable sins, and they will be cut off from the community of Israel. So obey my instruction, you're telling us, Lord. You tell us not to defile ourselves by committing any of these detestable practices that were committed by the people who lived in the land before you brought them through there, because you are the Lord, our God. Father, forgive us. Forgive us as a church, Lord God. All of these sins that we are committing or have committed in this land lie at the very step of the churches, Father God, who refused to obey your word, who refused to preach your word, and to teach your children, those who are bought and purchased and born through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. these standards and these, how, Father God, can a church, a pastor, stand up and embrace what you say is detestable and you say will vomit them out of the land? It goes beyond my understanding, Father God, but here we are. We have a nation who has embraced these cultures, Father God, of man lying with man, woman with woman. Father God, it's detestable sins. Father, I know we deserve your judgment and we will receive it. But Father God, you said you were looking for a man to stand in the gap. I'm standing in the gap, Father God, for this nation of the United States of America, confessing, Lord God, that we've disobeyed your laws, your statutes, your commandments at every turn. Father God, we have even went so far, Father God, to introduce into our nation laws, Father God, that would make it legal to practice these things that you call detestable and defile our land. That's where we are, Father God. Forgive us, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us as the people of God for not praying. Forgive us for a church for not praying, being salt and light, Father God. Lord, I pray for our President Biden. I pray for President Joe Biden. Father God, I'm asking to give him the leadership abilities to do what you would have him to do, Father God. And no doubt he is doing that because you're bringing your judgment upon this nation. But Father God, I pray for him. I pray for his soul, Father. I pray, Lord God, bring him to the place and the knowledge of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only him, Father God, but every individual within the government system. And Lord, only you can do this. No man can do this. But I ask your blessings upon President Joe Biden, his physical, his mental capabilities. Father, I pray for this upcoming election. Get rid, I pray, Father God, of all agents of Satan that has worked in and wormed and etched their way throughout the life of this nation. I am asking, Father, to cause unions, those school board directors, those corporation bodies who are supporting Satan's agenda, God, I'm asking you to bankrupt them. Father, I'm asking you to bankrupt every agency that is providing monies to bring people into this nation that would wreak havoc upon the streets of America. Father God, there are individuals who are funding individuals who would start riots. We see it on the school campuses. There are people coming to the school campuses, Father God, who are not even part of the school campus, who are being funded by organizations of multimillionaires who want to wreak havoc, who are agents of Satan, whose goal is to destroy this nation from within. Father, I am asking to cause the sources of their monetary support to dry up and go away. And I'm asking God to rock, shake, purge, purify, cleanse every office of in the political arena of this nation, Father God, of those who are agents of Satan, whose goal is to bring about a one-world government system. Father, give us a man, a leader, that has your heart, that will change the direction that this nation is heading. That, Father God, that will close our borders, that will reject out of this land, Father God, those who are enforced in illegally. Father God, give us a man who will cleanse our streets from the wickedness. Give us a man who will enforce the laws that's already upon the land. Give us a man who will reject those district attorneys who have been bought and put in place by agents of Satan, Father God, to wreak havoc upon this nation. Cleanse us, purge us, and purify us, and cause for every agent of Satan to disappear from any kind of influence upon this nation. Cleanse us, O Lord God. Cleanse the land. Purge the land from the shedding of the innocent blood. And Father, I pray for the nation of Israel, for divine intervention on their behalf. Remind the nations who struck first. Who struck first? And Lord, I pray that you would end the war in Israel. Above all of that, I pray that your perfect will be done in the days and the times that we are living in throughout the entire world. So, Father, hear this prayer. If I prayed anything amiss, Father God, strike it. Strike it. Now, as we go into this lesson, Father, I ask, anoint me, Holy Spirit. Anoint me to bring forth this lesson in such a way that it'd be so clear to anyone who hears it. I ask this Holy Spirit to anoint me now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. If you recall, back in Acts chapter 4, toward the end of the chapter, there was one named Barnabas. That was his nickname. His name was Joseph when he was from the Isle of Cyprus. Remember that? And he had a plot of land and he sold it. We don't know if the land that he owned was in Cyprus, but I tend to believe it was in Cyprus. But anyway, he sold that body of land and he took the proceeds that he gained from it and brought it and put it at the feet of apostles and gave it to them for the helping of the believers who were sharing their possessions. They were united in heart and in mind, and they felt what they owned wasn't theirs, that it was from God. So they all pulled their resources together to help those who didn't have anything that they might live comfortably. So Barnabas brought his. Along comes now Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5, verse 1. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Why would he do that? You know, it was within his own power. He could say, hey, guys, I sold this land, but I got this much for it, but I want to give this much to you guys to help out with everybody else. Verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell, or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Catch this. Don't let this pass you by. In verse 3, he's saying, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, Peter's telling him, how could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So you should make the connection there that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, what do you think was in Ananias's thought process or mind to want to do this? Why? Well, it pretty much gives us the answer there. Peter said, Satan has filled your heart. Satan has filled your heart to lie. He didn't have to do that. Yet, but he probably saw the admiration that the apostles had threw it upon Barnabas for giving. And maybe, Ananias said, hey, we'll do that and we'll be looked upon with admiration. Possible. Let's look at verse 5. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about this was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him out and buried him. Verse 7, about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for the land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the spirit of the Lord like this. The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church. Everyone else who heard what had happened, fear gripped her heart. The word Ananias, it's a Hebrew name, it means God is gracious. The word Sapphira means beautiful. Neither Sapphira or Ananias lived up to their names. Their names would now go down in history that the Lord subtracted from the church to make it pure. Acts chapter 5 is the third miracle in the book of Acts. If you recall, the first miracle was a man by the gate called Beautiful, who was lame from birth, and when was healed, when Peter and John was passing by, they raised him up and God healed him. The second miracle was in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, when the building shook and all were filled by the Holy Ghost. This third miracle in the book of Acts is one that we are thankful to God that we don't see. What do you mean, Pastor Gene? Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean. Think about this. If we were to stand and sing some hymns, they would make us hypocrites. What are you talking about? Singing a hymn make me a hypocrite. Well, I'll give you an instance. You stand up in church and sing, I surrender all. Remember that old hymn? I surrender all. Be careful. You're in church. You're standing up before God singing, I surrender all. If God, the Holy Spirit, acted today in the same manner that he acted in the books of Acts there in chapter 5, we would need to build a morgue in the church and have a mortician on staff. Picture this. Here we are, we're all singing, I surrender all. But if God, the Holy Spirit, acted in the same level of purity that he did here in the books of Acts, the moment that you sing, I surrender all, if you were holding something back that you're really not surrendering at all, think about it. One person drops over here. Oh, there's another person just went down over there. There's a person up front just went down. A person in the back just went down. Wow. People in the church are falling over. A whole bunch. Not slain in the spirit either, but slain by the spirit. Killed. Flat out dead. Killed. See how serious it is, folks? If the Holy Spirit acted exactly like he did with the same level of purity he did in Acts chapter 5 with Sapphira and Ananias, wouldn't be much church left. They'd all be dead, taken out of the way. No doubt that Ananias and Sapphira were born again, believers, had received Christ in their heart, part of the church, yet gave in to the temptations of Satan, just like you do today, and I do. If we're not on guard, we are listening to the thoughts coming in, and many times give in to the temptation. And can you sing, I surrender all? Can you now, knowing what you just heard, stand up and sing, I surrender all? Have you surrendered all? Have you given all? And Ananias and Sapphira didn't. And then they lied about it. Well, if you stand up in church and sing, I surrender all, and you have something in your life that you know that you haven't surrendered unto God, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. Ouch. Ouch. So at first it would seem like that Ananias and Sapphira was doing the same thing as Barnabas had done. Barnabas sold the land and put it at the apostles' feet. But the failure here was not that they didn't give the right amount, because there was no right amount. What really happened is they misrepresented what they gave. They said they gave so much, but really they gave far less. They were both lying, so the people would think, wow, such a huge gift, like Barnabas. Let's sell the land, but not give it all. Let's keep back some. But they weren't up front with it, was they? They lied about it. Peter said, you have not lied to men, but to the Holy Spirit. And the second time he said, you lied to God. Sadly to say, but the very first Christian funeral was conducted right here in the book of Acts. Two of them on the same day. So when you bring your offering to the Lord, how should you give it? How should we give? Simply and honestly, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. But every man should give as he purposes in his heart, for God loves the cheerful giver for the glory of God. So, we witness the physical death here. God didn't add to the church here, but he took away, purifying the early church. It would seem that this is not the only place where this has happened, where God took someone out early. That is the physical death in the form of God judging believers in the early church. It wasn't unheard of even as the early church developed. Remember when Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians and the people were taking the Lord's Supper without the right intentions? Many among you are sick, he said, and have died. It wasn't unheard of, even in congregations besides Jerusalem. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, Paul says, he writes to the Corinthians, when he said, concerning the unrepenting ones in the church, we, when he said, deliver them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit might be saved in that day of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at that. Paul is preaching here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, verse 1, can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. He's talking to the church, folks. Something that even pagans don't do. I'm told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be in mourning and sorrow and shame. And then you should remove this man from your fellowship. He goes on to say in verse 8, even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit, and as though I was there, I have already passed judgment on this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan, so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day of the Lord's returning. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast which spreads through the whole batch of dough? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is instructing the church at Corinthians about taking the Lord's Supper. In verse 17 he says, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. But when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some of go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What I am supposed to say, do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. One night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces, said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of the wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating and drinking bread and the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along the way. So perhaps, meaning that the physical death wasn't punishing them because they were unbelievers, but because that they were believers, lest they fall any further and influence any more, that the Lord would take them off of this earth, that their spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. Perhaps this is what Paul was referring to. So, we saw where God subtracted from the church, at least two. And now we're going to find out where he multiplies, as was the case here. Verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought unto the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on the beds and the mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as they went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for tonight. We will pick up into Acts chapter 5 next week. We'll pick up with Acts chapter 5, verse 12 next week. Until that time, may God bless you and yours real good. Pastor Gene saying good night.